This is Phil Pritchett. Welcome to the P2 Podcast.
There's never been a better time than right now to be a musician. Giddy hit Austin. My name's Phil, and I just want to play rock and roll, man.
Tougher than the rest.
Steady beat coming in. One, a two, a one, two, three, four. Blue, here we go. A one, two, three.
Well, I was in Virginia, I was waiting for the train. Everyone around me said they
fans, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. It is Phil Pritchett here on the P2 Podcast, joining you weekly, everyone, to enlighten your musical life, give you some sense of direction, some hope, some light in the fog in these chaotic musical times. Coming to you from Trinidad World Recording Studios, my beautiful studio here in beautiful Fort Worth, Texas. Come record at the studio, as I always say. Phil@philpritchett.com. Shoot me an email. As so many of you have this summer, man, we've had a lot of fun in the studio this summer. So many people coming in there. Brian Sachs from Houston. Brian Hunt, the boys from Beaumont were up here recording. Seth Jones of Round Rock, Texas. And all over. Adrian Escovedo hanging out. Doing some tracks. So much fun. You can too. Call me, 817-733-5256. Well, this week on the show, I am very excited because you know who's going to be joining us for our second segment. You love him, you hate him, but you know you have to listen to him. No matter what you think of this man, no matter what his opinions may do to your perception of the world, your perception of yourself, he is the Dark Lord, the man with the shotgun and the tattered robe, the jug of Carlo Rossi red wine, staying at home all day, playing gigs all night, vigilante of the neighborhood, Kurt South returns in our second segment here. Fantastic. So stick around for that. It is just a treat anytime he is around, when he is on the podcast. So many angry emails of late. Angry emails of late wondering where Kurt South is, where he's been hiding. I can tell you this, sadly, Kurt has had plans of moving. He's going to be moving to Virginia. So, man, let me tell you what, we've already got the Skype deal figured out. We're going to have Kurt South Skyped into the podcast as a special guest, as someone out on the Atlantic coast. You know, Kurt's originally from Virginia, and he is moving back there with his wife, his two children. He's got all kinds of stuff lined up out there. We certainly wish him well. It will certainly not be the last time he is on this program. In fact, he has told me that he expects and demands to be often sighted. It'll just kind of be like reaching out to an alien force, you know, just getting the Kurt South feed coming in from Virginia. So fear not, fair listeners. You have not heard the last of Kurt South in this show, and we look forward to him joining us here in our second segment. Oh, man, talking about the evolving issue of the smartphone. Not so much the cell phone. We've had cell phones forever. But, man, I'm telling you what. And look, don't get upset out there. I look at my cell phone everywhere I go as well. But, man, I've been troubled lately. Troubled because I feel myself, I don't know if I'm just old, if I'm bitter, if I'm cynical. Help me out. Of course, I know I am. But I find myself noticing while I'm on stage more than ever. I'm like, man, I've never really noticed people, just everyone's on their phone or looking at their phone or, you know, while I'm on stage. I'm like, and man, the last couple of weeks, me and the band were talking, I was just like, man, that's just all anyone's doing at these things. So evolving. I come from the school of just, hey, man, if you're a performer worth your salt, you get up there, you get their attention, you reach out there, and you grab them by the throat. But who knows, man? It's changing times. Things are different. Live shows, music, their place in the pantheon of human interest out there. Maybe that's all changing. I don't know. I was intrigued by our last week's visit with John Reynolds. So nice of John Reynolds to venture across the hall. He had to walk about at least like 12, 15 feet right down the carpeted hallway here at Trinidad World Recording. Sit in, give us a movie perspective. I saw another movie the other night, Apollo 13, seen it a million times. It's one of those, you know, one of those obligatory Tom Hanks movies that you find yourself watching for the 50th time. You can't turn it off. You're just sitting there watching it on TNT. But man, you know how the story on that movie is how they showed all the weightlessness. They went up in that plane, you know, went up there, and then it just perilously drops back to Earth so fast that everything in the cabin will kind of float, you know. And that's how they shot that movie, a lot of scenes in that. You can tell in those old space movies, you can tell the guy's got a harness on and he's floating on a wire. You know of what I speak, fans. I don't need to tell you. But, you know, it looks fake, the people floating on the moon and stuff like that, floating in a capsule. But, man, Apollo 13 had it great. They had that actual great gravity shot, zero gravity shots of the guys, you know, the guys in the cabin floating around and everything. But I was struck with that age-old question that I've had lately. Are they trying to make movies like this anymore? Are they even trying to make movies like this? It's the Green Lantern, the new Hulk. How many bad Hulk movies do they have to make? Oh, God. It's so depressing, man. I know I'm old, and I have a long-lasting and terminal case of good old days syndrome. But, man, a new idea for a film, for crying out loud. Well, who knows? We thank John Reynolds for coming by. Maybe he'll go out and make him a Apollo 13-type movie. Forrest Gump. Oh, there's some recent ones, you know, from about the last 15, 20 years that just epic classics, man. Oh, now we got all these remakes. How can it be a classic and just be a complete remake? A complete rehashing of some stupid TV show? You know, where does that go into the pantheon of art? Are we even trying to be great anymore? Artists out there? I don't know. You out there, the musician, the writer, the musician, songwriter, seek out. Come here to explore yourself. I will say it once again. A free space here. Well, man, we've had an exciting summer here. We're going to talk about in this first segment here a little bit. Recount what's been going on. It's always kind of slow early in the year. People just aren't recording a lot. You know, I love recording my own stuff in the cold, the coffee, freezing temperatures outside. That's when I kind of like recording. But hey, man, everyone else is working. Or going to school, etc., etc. And that's just fine. So it is often the summer I found where man, some of y'all call, email, hey, man, we're coming in June, July, August. We're taking some time off. We're going to be in the area. Let's record. Let's do some tracks, man. But we've had a lot of fun this summer, man. Our Seth Jones has been up. He did a whole record, man. Seth, love you, man. Did some great stuff, man. Came in and, did 11, 12 songs. Came out really good. Stu played drums. Went back here in the back room. Oh, man. You know, for so long, we had the monitoring system. Those of y'all know about studios. Everyone had the same monitor mix in their headphones. Now, I had devised some ways on my machine here to cheat a little bit so that, you know, I could give the scratch guitar player, vocalist, or the bass player his own little mix by cheating some stuff around. But it was always kind of difficult. We had four or five guys tracking at the same time. Always an issue. They're always turning to you. Hey, man, can you turn up the bass or turn down the drums, or I can't hear the vocals too loud. On and on it goes. But, man, we got one of those new Avium systems back there. Avium? Where everybody's got their own little mixer. It's great, man. Larry Dillon, the owner of this building, installed that back there. So awesome monitoring stuff. It was so fun. I hadn't used it, but on Seth's stuff was some of the first time I've gotten to use it. I was playing bass on Seth Jones's record. I also played all the guitars too, I think, and keyboards. Is that right, Seth? I think that's right. But playing bass, man, Stu Wiley, the full band, the beloved Stu, comes in bearded, sits there in the studio in the far back, puts on the headphones. He was in mix heaven back there. Just listened to his kick drum in the mix. Tracking away, tweaking his mix the whole time. We had a really good time. Did the whole deal. And then Brian Hunt and the guys were up here. Did three songs. Then they got this song called Leon about, you know, picking up this old Vietnam vet hitchhiker. Brian had sent me an MP3 on that. I always encourage that as well. If y'all are thinking about recording or something, send me an MP3, philip@philippritchard.com. Say, hey, man, here's some demos we were doing at the house or something. See what you think. See if there's something we could do or something you could do with it. Yeah, that Leon song's really cool. I can't wait for Pritchard fans out there to hear that track. Really good stuff there. And, man, they had their stuff together, dude. Bass, drums, guitar. I did some harmony vocals on it. But that was about it for that, man. They had it pretty figured out. All the guys playing. And then we had our friend Brian Sachs. I met Brian at Texadelphia, the great Texadelphia, down there in Houston, man. Brian was working there, setting me up with some sandwiches. Next thing I know, he's making a record, man. He's making a record. Had a ball. Came up here with the guys. They were fresh off a trip from New Orleans. So that factored into the recordings a little bit. Came in a little sluggish at first, you know, from the trip, tired, long way. But, man, once we got cruising, came out, had a great time. Got to do some fun stuff on that as well. So I encourage you all to, you know, come on up to the studio, Trinidad, record. And but it's been a fun summer, man. Most summers I'm in Colorado all the time. You know, I'm up there for a couple of months. But we had a new baby in the family, so we didn't make it up there as long as we wanted to. I was only up there for a couple of weeks. So what does that mean to you, the fan? That means Phil's been here recording and playing gigs forever, all summer long, sweating it out, man, hitting all the haunts. So, thanks to all of y'all who've had us come play in your private parties. Oh, man, played Kellen and Zach's wedding down there in Burney, Texas. Amazing. Just a great time. See, here's what I want to say to all of y'all out there who come to the Pritchard shows and I'm playing all my B-side material. Going on. You come up to the stage, you request the obscure Pritchard songs, which I am so grateful to play. I love it. But let me tell you what, man, you ought to see the full band. I'm just going to tell you right now, if you ever have a chance to come see us, me, Stu, and Blue, the full band, play a private party, a wedding, a family reunion, something to where there might be people there who don't know their Phil Pritchard material very well. You know, Uncle Bob, he might not know Maria. Don't hold it against him. He's at the party. He deserves to be entertained, right? Let me just say this. We got up there at these weddings recently, man. And we start ripping off the hits, man. Now, it gets ruined if you rehearse. You can't rehearse cover tunes. That's kind of the rule. You just get a little better at doing them each time. But, oh, man, we pulled some out the other night and just ripped it. It's so fun for us. We never get to play covers, really. You know, we do maybe one or two a night, you know, at the average full band gig. But, oh, man, you think I'm too proud to get up there and play The Joker? You think I'm too proud to get up there and play Margaritaville, just delivered with passion, with insight, with wit, conviction, and nuance? Let me tell you, you haven't lived till you've seen it. I was quite proud of my Jimmy Buffett. Some old guy wanted to hear Jimmy Buffett at the wedding the other night. What am I going to say? Nah, man, we don't play him, man. I just turned to Stu. I'm like, do you know the last verse? I was trying to remember the lyrics. Stu's like, yeah, man, we can get through it. Blue just starts it on the bass line. Boom. Dude, it was just... it was great, man. Oh, maybe my true calling is to be a wedding band. I don't know. You tell me. You know, some bands, some guys, for obvious reasons, probably don't want people knowing that they play a lot of weddings and stuff like that. Or they hate it. They're like, oh, it sucks, man, but we needed the money. I love it, man. Let me tell you what. At the wedding, am I right or am I wrong? It's people at their best. Everyone is so ready to just have fun. It's awesome. So, man, what did we pull out the other night? We did, you know, Proud Mary, Big Wheel Keep On Turning. Although Stu and I got in an argument on stage, I was trying to do the Ike and Tina Turner version. The fast. That's a good job in the city. But Stu, and I think Stu won on this, he talked me into this. He goes, man, just do the classic Creedence rendition. Just a ding-ding, ding-ding, left a good job in the city. That one came off pretty good. Had a couple train wrecks on, what was a train wreck? Oh, we tried to pull off Pride and Joy, which you think would be easy. Blues progression. It was okay. A little sloppy. That was a little disappointing to me. But the crowd loved it. We had a great time. What else we put up? What was the most obscure tune? We pulled out a little Blister in the Sun, Violent Femmes. You think I'm too proud? Absolutely not. God, it rocked though, man. It brought the place down. Blue was on his knees, leaning back, playing the bass solo. Lots of fun. So thanks for making it a great summer, man, for us. It's been hot as heck. Oh, man. But we've been out there loving it. Loving seeing everybody, playing your private parties, recording you, all that stuff. It's what we do. Thanks for listening to the podcast. Well, man, I'm just a buzz right now. Kurt South is out there pacing in the hall, mumbling to himself, ready to come in here and fill us in on all that's going on, talking about music, the use of smartphones at the shows, etc. Brace yourselves. Get into that dark didactic mode, folks, because Kurt South's coming up next. Fans, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. Phil Pritchett here on the P2 Podcast from Trinidad World Recording Studios, my studio here in beautiful Fort Worth, Texas. Well, folks, so glad you could join us today for the podcast. As promised, he has returned to us, the dark knight of the neighborhood, the vigilante behind the curtain. Approach his house at your peril. For you will be met with a man in a tattered robe, a hunting hat, shotgun, a bottle of Carlo Rossi red wine, scaring off the neighbors, striking fear into the mailman, protecting the neighborhood, growing oranges, potatoes, and other assorted fruit in his backyard, ready for anything. A survivor, a man who needs no introduction on this show. But there it all is, nonetheless. Kurt South is here. So great to see you, South.
It's good to be back.
Man, it's been so long. I've just gotten all these angry emails. We're South, man.
I put so much into each and every podcast.
You just go to bed afterward, right? You just go home, just done.
My intensity cannot be matched. Mm-hmm. Therefore, I can't do it all the time.
Oh, man. Well, it is great. I know our listeners out there are just giddy with excitement. Kurt South is back here. He's had many adventures of late that we're going to be talking to him about. I wanted to get his thoughts on this subject, though, that we were discussing that I find myself. It's my true fear. My true fear realized. A few years ago, I went to see Bruce Springsteen, your former favorite guy.
Before he got
the hair plugs and the fake tan. You were back in the day, right? The skinny, insecure, acne-faced Bruce.
Yeah.
But this is post that. This was the solo tour for Devils and Dust.
Yeah, that playing. Was right when he started looking like the Situation from Jersey Shore.
A Jersey man in his own right. He fit in pretty well.
Yeah, he started actually looking like the media's perception of people from Jersey.
That's right. Well, man,
and there's something ambiguously gay about him now, too.
Yeah, you think so?
Yeah, he just
ambiguously gay Springsteen.
He comes across as a real queen now.
Oh, man, listen to this. You're going to get this thrown off the air. Well, listen.
They wouldn't dare.
I went to this show. It was an acoustic show, Bruce by himself. You know, I was all ready for it. Go in there. He comes out on stage. Before he plays a note, before he even says, hello, welcome to the show, he just takes the mic off. He goes to the front of the stage, and he just rants at the audience for, he said, man, I better not hear a cell phone. I better not see a cell phone, man. If I see one of those things, I'm going to take it and throw it out the window. Everybody kind of uncomfortably laughed. And I remember just thinking, oh, come on, man. If you're worth what you say you are, your mere presence on the stage, your songs as you come out and play should make me just put my cell phone in the trash. Just put it away. I ought to be so mesmerized by you. You know, I remember feeling a little offended. Like, hey, what are you going to tell me not to look at my phone or check my messages? You screw him. Well, man, we've had cell phones for quite a while now, correct?
Mm-hmm.
I've played many shows over the last 10 years or so. Countless, Sal. Countless. And let me tell you what, man. In the last year, this really hit me last weekend. We were out playing somewhere. Good crowds. Man, it's starting to really bother me. I don't know if so much bother me. I just notice that that's all anyone is doing at the shows. God bless the Phil Pritchett fans out there who get up front and everything. And I don't want you thinking that I'm really angry that I see him on the cell phone. I don't get mad. I'm the same way. I've always got my phone. I'm always checking stuff out. I'm always doing stuff on my phone. But I find myself noticing it. I'm like, dude, you know, this guy's up at the front of the stage. He's got his beer. He's singing along. But man, he's got his iPhone in his hand, and he's just looking down at it the whole time. He's nodding his head in time with the music. He's having some drinks. He's laughing, but his eyes are focused on his hand. He hasn't so much as looked up the whole show. And I look back there, and that's what everyone's doing. I went to the Ranger game last week. They had the fireworks after the Ranger game, just going off. All the lights went down in the building. You look down there. I was kind of up in a little box seat, you know. All just a, you know, a Milky Way of light. Just everyone had their cell phones while the fireworks are going off.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like that scene in Ocean's 11 where they're blowing up the building.
Yeah.
And Don Cheadle's just watching on TV, and it's going on right behind him out the window, and he's just going, whoa. He's just watching on TV. It's the same kind of deal. Here's a fireworks display at the Ranger game, and everyone's looking at their phone. And, hey, guilty as charged, me too. But it's starting to bother me, and that concerns me. It makes me feel like I'm getting bitter, I'm getting old. Is that part of it? What's your take on the cell phones? Smartphones, I should say.
It drives me up the wall.
Uh-oh.
But I think people have finally found a form of entertainment, which is essentially themselves, that trumps all other forms of entertainment.
That's right. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, music has been relegated to background stuff.
Uh-huh.
It's not really, you know, you said maybe Springsteen should just be so great that we drop what we're doing and watch.
You think that's what the power of music is, right?
You're so absorbed in what you're holding in your hand, you're not even going to notice that he's doing anything great.
I mean, it happens all the time.
But I think people have found a way to put music where they want it, in the background. They like having it there. They like being in its presence, but it's in a detached way. I mean, I've watched people who've come up to me before the show and said, you are my favorite or one of my favorites, and I can't wait till you do this, and that, and blah, blah.
Yeah.
And I watch that person throughout the show to see if they're engaged or not, and it's rare that any of them ever are.
Yeah, it's tough.
I mean, I've had a guy come up to me and just gush and go nuts. This happened just a few days ago, and I watched him the whole time, and he didn't even look our way, and I'm like, That's our biggest fan right there, and he's just...
He just doesn't care.
He's just buying Casey Donahue songs on iTunes on his iPhone or some BS. I'm just like, what's he doing, you know?
Man, well, I am a firm believer then, man. If you can't get people's attention, you can't reach out there to the back row and grab them and pull them into your world, then you're not a performer worth your salt. I firmly believe that. I'm always trying to do something on stage... Compelling, tell a story, get people involved in the show, callbacks, and that kind of stuff. And man, I feel like for the first time in my career, man, I just feel like the things I do on stage just don't work as well. I feel like our shows are different now. We're playing better than we ever have. But just, you know, playing with your teeth or behind your head with the drumstick, you kind of look up. And maybe they've all seen it before. They're like, ah, this is what Phil does all the time. Who cares? Maybe that's old hat. I don't know. But I feel like even playing for new people who I know have never seen us, mm-hmm. they're looking at their phone. They're talking to someone. They're taking pictures. They're just – they're not – it used to be, man, the guy was out there holding a beer. That's it. I mean, you were all that was going on. Now there's like 10 – you know, LCD, you know, flat screens going on with various games. Everyone has a cell phone, and I'm on stage trying to play.
Mm-hmm.
And hey, man, it's my living. I mean, if we can get paid and play, I'll show up. I don't have any hard feelings against anyone for that. But I feel like, is it just me, or has it gotten worse lately in the last year or two?
I think it continues to get worse. I mean, you know, the smartphones are the issue. It's not just the guy with
a Motorola
Razr.
Yeah, yeah. The old Nokia.
The guy out there with a jitterbug with these giant numbers on it. He can't do anything with his
phone.
Right,
right.
But
the iPhone, really. The BlackBerry to a lesser extent, but the
iPhone
for
changed
sure.
Any of the touchscreen stuff, or you can. The issue is people can create their own reality now.
Yep.
I mean, people can really just customize everything about their life.
Right.
And you know, people tend to miss everything that's going on around them when they're solely engaged with their iPhone.
Yeah,
they really do. And that's, I guess, I understand that. But to me, it's kind of like no one really lives in reality anymore. It's just all here on this handset, and they're obsessed with it. And it drives me crazy. It really does, because I don't see it improving anyone necessarily. It beats
just
me
doesn't,
down.
Man.
As a matter of fact, and I'm just throwing this out, fair warning, I will be off Facebook very soon.
Oh, no.
Because
don't say
I can't,
it ain't so.
I can't handle all of this. This electronic engagement anymore.
I can't either.
And it's just too much. I see people who I know them personally.
Yeah.
And I see what they do on Facebook and Twitter and stuff. I'm like, dude, you just make yourself look like such a bag of dirt. I think it brings out the worst in people. It's almost like there's, I don't know, people turn their filter off a little bit.
Yeah.
Of course, this podcast, the same could be said for this, maybe.
Well, maybe so, maybe so.
I don't know. I think I just, I have a hard time coming to terms with it and feeling like it's an improvement.
Mm-hmm.
It, you know, more access, more information, you're able to kind of customize your scope in reality a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. And
I don't know that that's entirely a healthy thing. I think sometimes it's a disconnect between you and what's really going on. And, you know, sometimes quite often I have people come up after a show and apologize. Man, I know it didn't seem like anybody was paying attention, but everybody really loves you. And sometimes I just want to go, no, they like their phones more than what was going on.
There's no doubt about it.
They just chose to be on their phone while they were in my presence.
That's right, yeah. And that's...
I don't know. I would much rather people just come up and go, man, we think you're really cool, but we just love our freaking iPhone so much that you're about fourth place on our list of things going on here today.
They're keeping up with what's going on.
I would respect that candor a little more than the, hey, man, don't take it personally. We're all just doing other things. That's fine. I mean, you know, I get paid either way.
It does, because live music, man, there is a contract there. There is a – for it to be really good, it's just it's all about – the audience and sharing something there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's no different than if you went to give a speech
mm-hmm.
at a college or something, or you know, and you just get up there and start saying, well, I was born, and just everyone's just looking down at their phone. It's just kind of like, you know, and on one hand you're like, well, maybe I'm not very interesting. Maybe I need to do more. Maybe I need to be more exciting up here. Maybe I'm boring. But on the other hand, there's a very minimal contract, like, man, you know, you've got to at least look at me. Or I mean, you don't have to come in here, you know, but a lot of people who are on their phone out there paid $10 to come in to see the band. You know, and I'm just like, it's not that, like, again, it's not that I'm bitter about people looking at their phone, that's not it, but I just wonder why they're in there, man. I'm kind of like,
well, man, I had
it's confusing to me.
I had an experience a week ago
Yeah.
I had a relative in my family pass away.
Right, right.
At the funeral, I was almost driven to violence by the number of cell phones that kept going off.
Well, I was at this funeral.
Yeah, you were there.
And
could you believe that?
Dude, they just kept ringing the whole time.
And what happens
the whole time, it was just the hip-hop songs.
Well, and no one, when their phone rings, this is what makes it even
worse. No one wants to reach for it because they don't want to be blamed.
Because then they tell on themselves. So they just let it go. And throughout the service.
And they're just looking at the guy behind them. Just like, hey,
throughout the service.
Oh, my gosh, who was doing that?
Yeah, it was just, and look, people, that.
Man, it was.
You know you're going into a funeral. You put on the clothes. You go to the church or the funeral home. You walk in the door. You know what's going on, and you can't remember to turn the damn thing off.
Oh man, yeah, I did notice that at the service. It just kept going off, and just you get those prickly sweats because you're embarrassed for everyone. The guy whose phone it is, the family. You're just like, oh god.
But I mean, I think that's kind of indicative. It's mortifying. I think it's kind of indicative of where those things are in people's lives. Like, man, they trump just about everything.
They really
and
do.
It doesn't
they
matter really do. How hallowed of a place we're going or how serious of a situation we're going to be in.
Yeah.
We're going to keep it on.
God, we're going to keep it on. A thing.
I'm not going to leave it in the car. Yeah. I've gotten to where I leave my phone in my vehicle almost all the time now.
Yeah.
Because I'm going through a technological divorce. I cannot take it anymore.
Now, there's a term for the millennium right there. Ah, a technological divorce. Well, here's my two cents on it. There's nothing – I see tremendous use out of it if I say on Facebook or Twitter, hey, man, just a reminder, I'm playing in Houston tonight. See everybody there.
Absolutely.
That's a good way just to say blah, to your existing fans. Fine.
Right.
But, dude, I'm like you. I go to my Facebook page, and I'm being updated and briefed on everybody. And, man, it does sour me. Just, hey, man, is that the guy – you can talk to me after the show. Oh, look at this, man. Oh, my gosh. He wants me to sign some list to support some car. I mean, what is this? You know, just – and I start to just go, ah. And I would just say these bands who spend all their time on Facebook and stuff, everyone would go, well, it doesn't build your career maybe, but they're trying to build their career with this stuff. Mm-hmm. And my argument would say, man, there's no real evidence. Now, if you have an existing base, it's a good way to reach them.
Yeah.
But it doesn't build a career for you to have all those friends on these things. It doesn't build a career, and there's many examples where it will end your career, mm-hmm. as we've seen in many, in athletics, as we've seen locally with some DJs, reporters, mm-hmm. you know, drinking off hours in a bar when their team loses and they tweet a little derogatory thing about the other team. And they lose their freaking job the next day. I go, man, not only does it not help your career, it might end it.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where I've come down on it. I'm just – everyone's like, man, you don't have any pictures of your kids on your Facebook. I'm like, hell no, I'm not going to put my
– No.
It's just – it's out of the question.
And by the way, stop asking my wife to be your friend on Facebook. If you're friends with me, you will not see pictures of my children that way. I've had people come up to me and complain that my wife won't friend them off my – I'm like, well, good.
Well, man, I mean, and look, it is useful. It is fun. And I am just as guilty as I say with my phone walking around and stuff. But man, I just feel like it's really entered a new phase, man. It is just,
hey,
I'm like,
and look,
I was playing a show and there was, you know, a couple hundred people in there and you just, and a lot of them who know me and know the songs and used to stand by the front of the stage and now, hey, maybe they've seen it all before. Okay. I accept that. But man, they're just back there looking at their phone. I'm just like, dude. Why do they even come in here? I don't understand. I don't understand.
Let me offer this as just a personal bit of evidence from my standpoint. I was in college before the internet existed.
Yeah,
right?
Me too. Yeah.
Call me old, whatever. But
older than
I've been an adult in both eras, and it's not an improvement.
Yeah.
It is not an improvement. Now, there are certain things that are. iTunes is an improvement, okay? No doubt. Right. There are certain aspects you can carve out of it and go, yeah, this is an improvement. Overall, though, it is not an improvement, and we have regressed culturally because of it.
As a species?
As a species,
we
have regressed.
Listen to this, South, throwing it down. Well, that is Kurt South, folks. Good to see you again, South.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming in, man. Join us next week. You'll hear more from Kurt South, I'm going to tell you, as he recounts next week, a run-in with none other than John Rich from Big and Rich.
Save horse, ride a cowboy.
Who shows up, who shows up at Kurt South's show, gets on stage, and hilarity ensues. Look forward to that next week with Kurt South. Coming up next, we're going to climb into the vault here, pull something out and broaden your mind a little bit with some music. On the vault, next.
Wake up, put your shoes on, take a breath of the northern air, and rub those eyes, genuflect beneath the starry skies. Before you climb the mountain, first the foot.
Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. Phil Pritchett here on the P2 Podcast. Thank you for joining us today, everybody. As you do so every week, we are so excited you're joining us here. Enlightening your musical life. How about old Kurt South? Showing up. So great to hear from him. Didactic wisdom. Enlightening us all with the darkened gloom of reality. So grateful for that perspective. Thank you, Mr. South. Gosh, he's out in the parking lot trying to get in his car right now. The alarm in his car is going off. A chaotic scene as he's departing Trinidad World Recording. Only a short amount of time is he able to spend with us today, but we're grateful. Grateful for whatever we can get out of Kurt South. We wish him well. Well, if you know anything about P2, I love the now-defunct band, the Jayhawks. How do I love the Jayhawks? Let me count the ways. Man, Mark Olson, Gary Louris, especially Louris. Gary Louris, he's the guy in the Jayhawks with the big horn-rimmed glasses and frizzy hair. Partial to playing plays a Gibson SG. Great songwriter. He sings most of these songs on the record we're looking at today. Smile, just a masterpiece from the Jayhawks. I think we did a Rainy Day Music, the last Jayhawks record they ever made. We did that on a previous podcast. But Smile is definitely worth checking out, man. Just a glorious record, a positive, upbeat record, man. So many great songs on here. The Jayhawks hailing from Minnesota, is that right? Minnesota. I got into them really. I mean, I always had their stuff. Another great record of theirs, Tomorrow the Green Grass, Hollywood Town Hall. Those are some of the early Jayhawks for some of you folks out there. Very countryish. The early stuff had a lot of a country stylings, mandolins, you know, banjos and stuff like that. Real down-homey kind of stuff. Smile is one of their later ones. They're right in the middle, I guess. And just has an epic quality to it. I remember the full band zone, Jason Stolle, was just a huge Jayhawks fan. I mean, there was a couple years there where me and Lynch, Ryan Lynch on bass, Stolle on drums, When we left a gig, man, we just threw in the Jayhawks and just cranked it all the way back to the hotel, singing at the top of our lungs after a great show. Great times, man. It's what we do. Then we just get back to the hotel, stay up late playing some cards, listening to the Jayhawks. Smile when you're down and out. Glorious. Just picks you right up. Music for any occasion, the Jayhawks. Well, check out this next track, man. This is one from Smile as well. It's called Ohio. Is it just Ohio? Somewhere in Ohio. Starts with a little drum machine deal. Pretty cool. So here we go. Somewhere in Ohio from the record Smile by the Jayhawks. Somewhere in Ohio, that's the Jayhawks, the great Gary Louris, lead guitar player, singer for the Jayhawks. He's the prominent voice on this in this band, especially in their later years. Mark Olson, I think, the early co-collaborator, he'd left a little after this time. But I remember seeing a great interview with Gary Louris, guitar. His guitar playing is very unusual. And his quote was, but always loud and just snarly. And someone asked Gary Louris about how he played guitar, and he said, man, I'm really not into technique and precision. I'm into feel, sloppiness, and tone. Feel, sloppiness, and tone. I've actually considered putting that quote above the doors of Trinidad World Recording. As you walk in the doors, the hallowed halls, we're into feel, sloppiness, and tone. That just kind of sums up everything that goes on in this room. Very little precision. But I can get behind that, man. Feel, sloppiness, and tone. Louris, man, but he plays a lot of real interesting lines, man. Uses lots of different amps, guitars. He's just such a great songwriter. Minnesota's own. Well, check out this one, another one of my favorites from the Smile record. This is Better Days. I've seen better days. Check it out. Smile, Jayhawks.
Too late for hope.
Jayhawks. Gosh, Phil, you love the Jayhawks. Some people just complain and exclaim. Guilty as charged, folks. Guilty as charged. Check out Smile, the Jayhawks. Enlighten your musical life. Impress your friends. I mean, how did you hear about this? You know. Of course, a lot of you already know who the Jayhawks are. I hope I'm not insulting anyone's intelligence out there. But maybe some of you never really checked them out before. They broke up several years ago, but their music lives on. And like all good music, it doesn't seem to age. It just gets a little better with time. Like fine wine, they say. Well, that is our show for this week, folks. Man, what a show. What a show. Kurt South rejoined us. We discussed cell phones. Oh, man, how hard it is to get people's attention these days on stage. So much distraction. So much stuff going on out there. We're battling for your, for the hearts and minds of all of you out there. All of us performers are out there battling for your hearts and minds, hoping to make a difference. Hoping to think that what we're doing makes a difference. That's what we're all concerned about. That's what we all like to do. Thank you for joining us on the P2 Podcast today, folks. My name is Phil Pritchett. Remember, you can download every Phil Pritchett album ever made for just $20 at p2tunes.com. Or p2tunes.com, you can get any album for $4. Or you can just order the drop card off the P2 merch site. All this is accessible through philpritchett.com. I will personally mail you a drop card, then you go online, like a little credit card, and you just download all 14 whatever records we got. Enjoy forever, living forever in the digital realm, every Pritchett record, the drop card. Or come record at Trinidad World Recording. Just call me, 817-733-5256. To come record or to book the full band, it's what we do, we love it. Until next week, folks, take care out there. This is Phil Pritchett on the P2 Podcast. We'll see you next week. It's a